Welcome to another edition of the Tech Teachers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Holly.
I'm a physics teacher.
And I'm a Spanish teacher.
And for any new listeners out there, we talk about tech and education and where it overlaps sometimes. And our website or our blog is thetechteachers.blogspot.com. You can check that out for all the show notes, which will include links to most of the stories and different web services and stuff that we talk about today.
Also, you can email us at rayandholly@gmail.com, and Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E.
Feedback is welcome.
Yes.
Any questions, ideas for the future, ideas for the show? Every once in a while, we'll eventually get around to a listener idea or program. So keep it coming. In fact, I think that's how we discovered, or we knew about Frapper, but that was, gave us the idea that there might actually be an interest for our show. And what is Frapper?
Be.
Tell everybody what Frapper is.
Frapper is basically, there's a map and you can join a group and it shows where all of our listeners are on the map.
And a pretty good response, actually.
I mean, we have... that's why we weren't really doing it, is because I didn't think there would be too much of a response.
Neither did I. I thought five, and I think we got... Yeah. What's the number at? Do you know?
It's at about 35.
35? So... Yeah. Not a huge percentage of the listener base, but we got people all over the world.
Right.
Unless they're lying.
Yeah, that's true.
we got some people in the Philippines and...
Colombia.
I
think Australia as well.
Australia. Uh-huh. I didn't see the Australia one.
Yep.
So check that out. Where's it at?
That's at frapper.com/techteachers.
And go ahead and put a thumbnail on there for wherever you're at.
Right.
If you're
Frapper,
listening.
Too. If you're not familiar with that, it's spelled F-R-A-P-P-R.
Check the show notes.
Right.
Let's see, what else do we got here for top of the show? Last week we were very bad and forgot to do all this stuff at the top, so we're making sure we do it this week.
Definitely.
Oh, PayPal. We weren't sure.
I think a lot of people don't know what that is.
Yeah, we realized that.
I heard from a couple of people that I know that listen. They're like, what is PayPal?
So we should probably explain what that is.
Well, first of all, we have a donate button on our website,
which is
in our blog right
which
now.
Which is from PayPal.
Right, which is through PayPal.
It'll send you to the PayPal
site. And so that's
site.
Why we kind of started talking about this. But do you want to tell them what PayPal
sure.
really is?
It's the main way to pay online without having to give your credit card to us or to some company. So it's like somebody you go through to make a payment. So like when I order stuff from some places where I don't necessarily want to give them my credit card information, I go through PayPal.
And is it free for you to use that?
Yes, it's free for you to use. And yeah, it doesn't, like, I pay, when you pay with PayPal, they don't take a cut. They take a cut from the people on the other end.
Right.
So the person that you're paying is the one that gets charged, if you want to call it that.
But if you're
paying,
I've
had a PayPal account for years. And a long time ago, they had some issues with privacy or whatever, but there haven't been any lately that I know of. And it really is the only solution. I guess Google did something with Google Wallet, or I don't know, but or they're still
really
working on
off.
It. But PayPal is still what you see everywhere
for
donate buttons.
I've heard of it, and if I've heard of it, then it's pretty popular, right?
Yeah. So that's the way. So what you do is you go to PayPal.com and you sign up, and you give them your information, and then through them you can make donations to us or donations to millions of other probably websites out there have donate buttons or this is the way I pay for the VPN to Hotspot VPN because they don't.
So even commercial,
not
just
donations.
Even
commercial. Oh, yeah, yes. Commercial places do this as well. You can pay for things on eBay and Amazon with PayPal.
Right.
So it's a big company. It's a big company. In fact, I think it's owned by, is it owned by eBay? I don't know. One of the big companies bought it out a while back.
So it's trustworthy.
Yes. It's
trustworthy.
Yes.
Okay.
Whereas, in other words, most people probably wouldn't feel comfortable giving us their, and we don't have the infrastructure to do this, but we couldn't take credit card information. We don't have any way to do that cheaply. So PayPal is the middleman, and they're the one that does the security. So when you go to the PayPal site, you're on a secure connection and all that. It's just like being at your bank.
And if you decide to donate, I mean, of course, you don't have to, but if you wanted to, wanted to buy a couple of things for the show, really, with the money.
The top priorities for the show right now are wireless mics, so that when we do our show, we don't have to be tethered to our computer. We can be wherever walking around, or especially when we do video segments, we don't have to be holding the mics. We can kind of just play with the stuff and show it. And then eventually down the line, probably won't ever get enough money for this, but I'll end up be buying down the road a higher quality video camera and somewhere down the line a new computer to make the video editing much, much faster. Because right now we've decided we're doing audio only again this week. We've decided for longer shows, like the full shows, we're not going to do the video because it takes so long to compress and then put in all the different file formats to make it look halfway decent and all that
stuff.
Sorry,
we are very busy.
Yes, and it takes just hours on my current computer. So I need to, and I my computer's pretty old. I mean, I'm on a PC that's 4 years old now that I built. So I will be building a new PC, but probably not until the summer. But so you can look for probably weekly.
We'll do segments, though.
Yeah, we're still going to do small segments and stuff that really lends itself to video. But as far as the normal show, we've decided to, until we get some hardware upgrade, we're not going to do that. So probably the summer is when I'll have my new gaming rig set up, and then I'll have a lot of processor power and hard drive space and all that good stuff.
Right.
So that's the lowdown on that. Anything interesting happened to you this week? We've kind of, usually we do the...
No, it's been very busy. I started a couple of classes, at nighttime, finishing up my master's, and doing that during my first year of teaching has been kind of, it's difficult at this point. But.
Yeah. I don't know what happened this week. I did science club. We've done two new recordings now. We're working on editing up the video. So there should be some new hardcore science vidcasts coming down the pipe, and I'll let our listeners know. I know some of them watch that. Other than that, just been busy prepping stuff and playing with technology, playing the Xbox 360 on my new LCD. Got ordered a, what do we got here?
ViewSonic?
VA912B ViewSonic 19-inch monitor. It's not a widescreen monitor. It's a standard thing because I got it mainly for my computer. But looks great. The 360 looks great on that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Definitely. And then still pumping it through the surround sound. So I've been playing with that. And then we'll have a video review or look at the 360. Maybe next weekend. What do you think?
Sure.
Try to do that next weekend? Do a little segment on the Xbox 360? All right. So that's it, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, we're very mellow tonight, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Why are we so mellow?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. Normally we're, maybe it's the, it can't be the weather. I don't know. We're just mellow.
All right.
Well, moving into the technology, couple updates. You've tried out Ta-da list now.
Yes, you had mentioned that in our last podcast.
You've seen me using it.
I saw you using it, and I love Ta-da list. I don't want to get away from a paper planner, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm more and more starting to go towards that. Like, I never wanted a pocket PC.
Yeah.
Because.
Or Palm. Everyone, every picture, just so everybody knows at
like
home.
A Palm Pilot.
Handheld organizer, date calendar, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit overkill for me. And, but this, I like because pretty much anywhere I go, I have internet access, so I can use Ta-da list.
Yeah.
So easy. I mean, it's just, I love it. So I'd say I'd recommend checking that out. Even we recommended it last week, but I've tried it now. And
I still live on it. I have my list, my number of lists keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
And I'll like open up a bunch of tabs in Firefox and leave the really important lists open all the time.
Right.
So I can see what I need to get done. But I do have a pocket PC, but I find myself using it less and less because of all the online stuff. Because just like you, anytime I need to see my to-do list, except in the grocery store, you know, I've got internet right there.
Right.
So anyway, another update is the portable apps I talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Portable Firefox and many other portable apps. You can check out the link in the show notes. We'll put it up there again. And tried it at school on the USB drive, and lo and behold, it worked just fine. Didn't copy any files to the computer that were not in my home directory. Didn't install anything on the computer because we're not allowed to install.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't install any software. It just ran, you know, resident in memory, I guess, and just no problem.
And
so,
again, what that is you're putting programs on a portable device.
On a thumb drive that, because you don't have the rights to install at school, like everything's restricted, this still allows you to use Firefox with the tab browsing. And the only problem was is that my thumb drive needs to be sticking out of my computer, and my computer's kind of located near the door, and I'm afraid I'll forget sometime, leave my door open, and somebody will walk by and be like, oh, USB thumb drive, free. Hey, how about that? You know, and unplug it and walk off with it. So I haven't been using it. I'll probably get a cheap one that I'll just stick in the back type of thing and use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The back's not accessible at all. Mm-hmm. But the Firefox worked fine, and then OpenOffice worked fine. Now I have no need for OpenOffice unless I forget it. But the tab browsing I will probably start to use once I get a cheap thumb drive. So it worked, and it worked well. On that front, was reading, I don't know if it's in PC World or PC Mag, this is what reminded me of the portable apps to give it another shot because I looked at it a long time ago. Portable MAME.
Now, and this is weird and kind of geeky.
MAME is, what's it stand for? Arcade Machine Emulator? What's it? Multiple Arcade Machine Emulator? Something like that.
Uh-huh.
We'll look it up. Maybe we should put it in the show notes because I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
But what it takes is Think about arcade games from all the way back to like Asteroids and, you know, up through the years, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Frogger. I mean, I'm not going in order anymore. Pac-Man, Galaga, any of those classics, all the way up into like even current stuff like the Cruisin' USA stuff, or Killer Instinct or something like that, like something even from the mid-90s, and Virtua Fighter. You can get these ROMs, and what basically the MAME is, it's a software thing that emulates all the old arcade machines exactly. So you can get exactly the same experience you had in the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put, now obviously you're not going to be able to put huge files on your thumb drive, but something like Pac-Man is really, really small, or something like Galaga is really, really small. So you can stick it on there and play MAME on the thumb drive. So I'm going to try that out on a variety of computers and also see if what the installation, if anything, it needs. So this might be you could be anywhere in the world and just pop, you can constantly have Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man, whatever your favorite arcade game is, maybe Street Fighter, with you all times. And now it's not the same if you don't have the joystick, but.
See, I don't know, you have the MAME and we've played that before.
With the arcade stick.
With the arcade
stick.
It's fun,
isn't it?
I loved it. I had so much fun.
So people at home know, uh-huh. I have, what is it called? X Arcade makes a line of arcade sticks that are compatible with MAME and with computers, and it's basically a full-sized.
It looks like you ripped it off of one of the arcade machines.
Yeah, it looks like you just went and took it out, and it's got six buttons, and it's got that arcade feel to it. It's real good quality, heavy, just
fun.
Sits put, and it makes it really like the arcade experience, and it's a lot of fun.
Here's the thing. I don't understand why you need to put that on your thumb drive and take
it
with
you
everywhere.
I just want to see if I can do it. I just want to see if it's...
That's weird.
I want to see if you can
do it.
That's
the weird part.
And
the
it's
other
portable
part was
game.
Cool.
I mean, it's kind of...
I thought that was cool that you had that here available. But then taking it with you, that's a step too far.
Well, I'm not going to really... I mean, I have a PSP. This is not what I envision myself ever doing. But it'd be nice to know if it can be done. It's kind of like I'm wondering how well will it work. And, you know, there are people out there where they'll probably love that.
Right.
That maybe business travelers who go around and can't install stuff, like they're not allowed to install MAME on their, you know, their business laptop, or, you know, they spend, you know, 20 hours a day at work, and they just have to stay there for whatever reason, and then they, you know, take breaks and then go back to work or whatever. Maybe that would be good for, you know, I'm thinking office environment mainly.
Okay.
Like where you've got I don't have any time to kill ever at school.
I know.
So it's not applicable for me, but I can remember in past jobs there was downtime. I mean, sometimes you'd be working really, really hard for 10 hours straight, and then there'd be days where you only had 3 hours of work and you had 10 hours of time to do it in. You know what I mean? And sometimes you needed to break up there's only so much you can research or so much you can work ahead on.
Well, of the 300 million people in the United States, I bet six guys that would apply to. That would really want to use that, yeah.
I don't know. One of the big things, I remember back where I used to work when I was in the office world, and people, I mean, they loved those online internet sites where you could play those stupid little games.
Yeah.
Well, this is a lot better than that.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a lot better than that.
Yeah,
so,
but you have
and
that.
It doesn't leave a footprint, as far as I can tell. It just it runs off the thumb drive, you know.
Okay.
There's so I mean that would be you know, for those looking to waste time at work, I guess, but so there's office people out there. Now, the teachers listening have no use for this at all, but I bet we have some listeners that are just tech people that aren't necessarily teaching and think this might be of good use to them.
Okay.
Yeah. Although also the business, the traveler.
Yes.
The guy with the laptop that can't install.
I'm just giving you a
hard
time.
They lock down the stuff.
I like these interesting ideas.
I'll never use it. I got to be honest. I'll never use it because I got the PSP. But.
Right.
It's an interesting idea. I want to see if it'll work. But I still love MAME. Wow, we went forever on that, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay, update two. We're kind of mixing in the updates with the tech stuff. MySpace.com/PSharkR is my profile. Feel free to add me as a friend, and then I'll have to approve it or whatever. I don't know if there's any way to just automatically approve, but I probably should leave that button there just in case.
Yeah.
But MySpace.com/PSharkR. Go ahead and add me to your friends if you would like, if you're on MySpace. Neat feature. I haven't added a whole lot to my profile or anything yet. Just actually went out and found like two of my friends and added them that I knew were on there. But there's a school search thing that's pretty powerful. If you put in your information for your school, people can find you like by high school, year you graduated, the clubs you were in college or in high school. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I went back and looked and saw some of my people that graduated from my hometown school.
Yeah.
And they're like all still in my hometown.
Oh, really?
There's like one or two that made it out of the hometown, which is small. So
that's
it's kind
okay.
of surprising
that
so many people would still be there, especially the people that would be on MySpace. I thought, oh, well, there'll probably be a bunch of people that are interesting, cool places. No. No. They're like all still in central Pennsylvania.
I don't know. I'm still not convinced on MySpace. It feels very high school to me.
Oh, it is. I mean,
I don't mean to.
I'm not that into it. It's just kind of a thing
right now, but you know.
I'm just trying it out. I mean, it's not.
No, you know, I wonder how many of our students are on. I mean.
Yeah, you can search by high school. Yeah, there's.
I bet there's a lot of our students.
Yeah, there was like 8 pages of people at my high school that were like on there from like graduated. There's alumni and people still there.
Oh, you mean so the one that you work at your high school?
Yeah, there's a ton of you know alums from there and current students. So,
right.
Yeah, and teachers probably don't even know about that. So you might want to go see you know if they're. What they're saying about you or something.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, you'd have to be probably a very excellent or very horrible teacher to make it to some kid's
right, that's
blog.
True. We're not talking about
you'd have to be the extreme case. Yeah, you can't be, you know.
Not talking about us.
No, they're not talking about us. So, yeah, check it out. See what you think. It is definitely still a younger thing. Like, it drops off pretty quick after that. But I thought as a tool to find people that you've lost touch with, because there's so many people signed up, there's like 50 million people or whatever, if those 50 million people start to put the year they graduated and the college they went to and stuff like that, it's an excellent tool to track people down.
I like the concept.
Down.
I do.
And I like
the concept.
I was in a club in college, and I was like, wow, maybe I can go find some of these people I haven't talked to in forever.
Yeah.
And this is a real informal, easy way to talk to them where you don't have to like call them up or write a letter or write an email.
That's
or I
true.
Am. There's not that responsibility to you can just kind of say, hey, what's going on, how you doing, and a quick catch up type thing,
right?
So there's a
like
there's
you didn't go to great lengths to track
to do
them
it.
Down
yeah.
It was just kind of
yeah and
yeah,
it's
okay. I get that, that's cool,
but yeah. I didn't find anybody, so
okay. Well, that's yeah, I like the concept. I don't know, just something about it just feels a little off to me.
A little off.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't like to be cool, you know. I can't
oh,
help
you like
it
to be a dork.
No. I just
hence why you love this podcast, right?
Pretty much. Okay. Anyway.
Flickr. I've mentioned Flickr before. I don't think have we really talked about it in depth?
I don't think so.
I tried it out a long time ago and I was like, I don't really have a need for this. Now I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grown. And
who
it's
owns Flickr?
Yahoo bought them out a while back, and that was a big to-do that right. Yahoo was buying them. So I tried them out, and I did some testing stuff. And the big thing I found that they do that other sites don't that will store your photos online is that they will store the original in its full resolution for you online. Mm. They'll do that even in the free version. However, you can only have access to it in the pro version. And there's other limitations on the free version, like you can only put up 20 megabytes a month. Which is probably more than enough for somebody that's just using it as a way to share photos.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking for the pro account is $25 for a year, mm-hmm. you know, a little over $2 a month. So it's a way to, what's going on? Holly's in pain right
I'm
now.
Sorry.
She's lifting up her laptop
Hold
and moving
on,
it that? Around. I guess we'll pause. We'll be back. Back now from Holly's burning laptop. Her laptop was burning her leg or something, right?
Okay, but I was concerned because it felt like it was liquid, and I thought my battery was leaking on my leg. And
that would be bad.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I'm not a wuss, so don't make it sound
okay, okay.
Okay.
So where were we? What were we talking about? Oh,
I'm
Flickr.
Sorry, we were talking
and
about
I was,
Flickr.
And yes. I was, oh, that'd be a quarter, right?
No.
I think that was an interruption. You lifting up your laptop into
oh,
the
come
air
on.
And going, whoa,
it wasn't
going
my
on?
Fault. Going all on. Right. Moving on.
So I was looking at it as not just a way to share photos. In fact, I'm not even sharing photos yet with anybody, but as a way to back up my photos. I've got photos on my laptop, photos on my regular computer, photos on your laptop, mm-hmm. photos everywhere.
Right.
And I wanted to put them all in one central location and back them up easily. And I thought about just making a folder that I backed up continuously and all that. And I thought, well, I don't ever want to lose my photos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want them to be somewhere off-site so that even if the place burns down, I still have all my photos. And I looked into just serving them up, like getting a web server, like renting
right.
space and putting on there. Not real convenient. Can't just upload it easily from, well, I mean, you can upload it easily, but organizing them would have been a pain.
Right.
And Flickr seemed to solve all the solutions, especially since you can keep the original full resolution on there. And if you get the pro account, you can put up 20 gigs a month, and there's no limit on the amount of photos you can store. So I've got 2 or 3 gigs of photos, and I'm going to be putting those up over the next month and a half because
right.
I'll eventually max out. And this makes it easy, and it kind of encourages me to take more pictures because it automatically, when you put it up, or when you put the show, when you put the photos up, you can tag them just like you do bookmarks and Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So you can give, let's say my grandfather came for a visit down to Houston and we played golf. I could put, you know, grandfather golf Houston as all tags. And then I can easily go get all, or his name, and I could easily get the, you know, I could, what if I tag every picture that he's in with grandfather, I can just click grandfather and all the pictures with that will come up.
I like that a lot. That's
so it's a good way to organize. And there's offline programs that do this as well, like Picasa is an excellent one from Google.
That allows tags?
It has some sort of system where you can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's called tags or not. But I love the online aspect of it because that means I can, you know, I'm sitting in a hotel room somewhere on vacation. Or not vacation, but, you know, at home. Or I go home for the holidays, I'm bored. Or I'm on vacation, stuck in a hotel room because it's raining or whatever. I can be, you know, tagging my photos. You know, mm-hmm. I can do it anytime I want. Anytime I've got downtime and I have internet, I can do this. And then the other thing is it automatically resizes. So I always hated the process of, for my blog, when I post pictures to my blog or to send them to somebody, I have to constantly give different resizing of the image.
Right.
Like, and it's not that difficult to do, but it's nice to just already have it there.
Okay.
And this automatically gives you like 8 different sizes. You know, it gives you like thumbnail, you know, the appropriate one for icons, and it just automatically does all that stuff as soon as you upload the picture. So you upload the original and it resizes all this and they're all available there online. It's excellent. They also have multiple ways to upload lots of pictures. Like if you're not just uploading 5 at a time, they do have software and a solution that works right within Windows that, as long as your internet connection's in good shape, seems to work really well. So I would recommend checking it out.
How
check out the free account. $25 for the pro, and then the free is obviously free.
Okay.
So, yes. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good, especially the resizing and the organization. There's also a thing called groups or whatever where you can group photos together and then go see your group. So if you have you can give them different tags and then have them grouped. So there's multiple ways to organize and it's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
They could do a little bit on the interface on how to quickly move around from one place to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's other stuff too. Timelines. You can like look at all your photos from a specific time range when they were taken or when they were uploaded. It's pretty powerful stuff for online software.
Okay. Cool.
Are you going to check it out and then you can report next week?
I don't think so.
You've got to do that new digital camera. What better way
I know.
To get started than to keep them? I wish I had like had done this with my photos all along and they'd be in perfect order and they'd all be tagged. I mean, if I could do this from the beginning, it would be awesome.
Okay. The problem is though, how much can I keep in the free account?
20 megabytes, but unlimited storage. You can upload 20 megabytes every month. Unlimited storage. And then they're there. And then if you ever want to, I mean, you're going to want to keep them offline as well, probably for a while. And then if you want to upgrade to the pro, you find you like the service, then you have access to all of your images and all of the high resolution ones.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is I don't have time to try anything out new this week.
It's easy. Took me 5 minutes to figure it out.
Honestly,
took me about 15 minutes to realize I wanted the pro version. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, this is good software. I will use it. Mm-hmm. And it's also got integration with Blogger, so I can post pictures to my blog with just one click. Which is nice. I like that. And email. You can email. Now, this sounds like it's really complicated, but it's not. These are all, you don't have to do all of this stuff. You can email. You can set up an account with them. It's included in the free as well, where you can, from your phone, send an email out with a picture attached, and it goes to your blog, or it goes to Flickr. So it's pretty powerful stuff.
Okay.
It's neat. It's like a combination of like 3 different things. You know, it does everything in one, and it seems to do it all pretty well.
Okay. I think that's pretty cheap, too, for the service once a year,
especially
$25.
Unlimited storage. You try to get, you know, when I start getting like 10 gigs of photos on there, you try to get 10 gigs of storage for a year. I mean, you're gonna pay some money. So I'm not quite sure how they do it. I guess they do claim you're not supposed to have ads when you have the pro version, but if a lot of people start downloading your pictures or viewing your pictures and you have a lot up there, they said they still reserve the right to put ads on there. So I guess they figure if enough people start hitting your pictures, they just put the ads up and then that pays for it.
Oh, okay.
Pays for the extra bandwidth that they might have to cover.
Well, that's interesting.
On this, we keep talking about internet everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about wireless internet anywhere. We're talking about like at our work
and
at home, right? We have Wi-Fi. We can move around our apartment and have Wi-Fi type of thing.
Right.
I am actually starting to do a little research into EVDO, which is Verizon. I believe it's EVDO. Verizon Wireless's internet. You know, you can get high-speed internet essentially anywhere in most city areas in the country now. So if you're near a major city, odds are you can get this. And they've dropped the price. I don't. It used to be like $80 a month. Mm-hmm. Now it's down to $60 a month. You stick a PCI card or a PMCIA card into your laptop,
mm-hmm.
and a little antenna sticks out, and you have internet all over your local area.
Really?
Pretty much high speed.
Mm-hmm.
And the card's dropped in price, too. With a two-year plan, I believe it's free. So it's come down in price quite a bit.
Wow.
Now, they put some restrictions on it, and I think I'm going to try to test this out maybe next weekend if I get around to it. I'll go down there and see if I can get a try it out type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they say you're not supposed to be able to stream media or share files or anything like that, and that would limit its usefulness. But if I could use it to stream music like anywhere in the city,
yeah.
like off of wherever, iTunes or whatever, I think I might get it. So
right.
I'm going to check it out. What do you think of that?
I think that sounds really cool. It's too much money for me right now, but
yeah.
I mean,
when you think about a regular internet, cable modems, usually you can pay $40 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody out there, you can't really get lower than $15 a month for DSL right now.
Right.
So if you're in that $15 to $40 range, a couple, $20-$30 more. The only mm-hmm. problem is you can't share it with, I guess you could do internet connection sharing with your laptop to another computer, but really it's not set up to, and it doesn't have a big enough pipe to really do, like, if you have like five computers on your home network,
mm-hmm.
Not such a good idea. But if you mainly use a laptop as your primary computer, this is ideal.
Right.
Anyway. Just thought I'd mention that.
Okay.
Anything else in technology, or did we?
I think that would be it.
That would be it. Okay.
Yes. Well, we said this was going to be.
Is this a Ray dominated show?
Yes,
so far?
It is.
We'll change that.
We said it was going to be a short show, but so far I don't believe we're going for that, are we?
I thought it was going to be short. I said all I want to talk about was Flickr.
I don't care. Hey.
And you said, oh, that's not enough.
Hey.
That's not enough. So I threw in portable apps, MySpace, PayPal.
No worries. I'm mellow tonight.
I just wanted to do the Flickr.
I'm mellow tonight. There's nothing. Nothing's wrong. No worries. Nope.
This is from the person that was panicking a minute ago that their laptop was leaking onto me.
Well, it hurt. I thought it was like being burned by battery acid.
Your reaction was just to lift it up and kind of look quizzically at your legs. I'd be like jumping out of my seat if I thought there was acid on me.
Well, I was just investigating. I didn't know.
I'd be like running to the shower to wash it off.
I was just investigating.
Investigating.
Yes.
Oh, is there acid burning through my leg? Nope, there isn't. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to education.
Yes, I think so.
What is our topic for education today?
Teaching techniques.
That's a big topic.
I know. Okay.
8 hours from now, the podcast ends. More specific.
No, more specifically, you had mentioned that you teach a lot of times by having students do problems.
Yes, I do.
Okay, and that's majority of your class time.
In fact, in my AP physics, that is a lot of it. It's mm-hmm. me either showing like a problem from the previous night's homework that they didn't get how to do,
mm-hmm.
or having them work on problems, like difficult, right. challenging problems. Because I figure at the end, the whole goal of this, besides learning a whole bunch about physics, is that they should be able to get a 3 or 4 or 5 on the test.
Mm-hmm.
And to get a 3 or 4 or 5 on the test, I've learned over the years, the best way to prepare for a test, especially a physics test, is to do as many types of, problems in each area as you can.
Right.
Because there's only so many different tricks and different ways to do this stuff.
Yeah.
So if you've seen, 1,000 problems in, kinematics or whatever, the odds are that they're not going to come up with some drastically new type of problem that you haven't done something at least similar to before, so you know where to start. Because especially recently, I found that my kids, the biggest thing is, where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
Once they start, usually they can start to, they're pretty smart kids. They can follow their nose through and, they can get to where they need to be. Without too much difficulty, it's the where do I start? So if you've seen a problem similar, you already know where to start, and now you're good to go. And also, I think practice. The more you do these problems, the quicker you get. And since the AP is a time test, they need to be efficient at being able to complete these problems. And the only way to get there is to do lots of problems and to see shortcuts when they're there,
mm-hmm.
which sometimes I will show them. I'll say, well, here's a quick way. Here's the way I would do it if I had all the time in the world. Here's what I do if I need to, get it done type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my big strategies. I'm just afraid, though, that it gets boring sometimes.
Right.
Because we do so many problems.
Mm-hmm.
No comment?
No.
What do you think? I mean, you kind of have a feel for, I mean, it's a standardized test at the end. I mean, it's kind of like taking an SAT or an ACT.
I think for your class that is totally fine.
I don't do that with the regular really physics do. As much.
But I don't know. I do that sometimes in my class. Basically, I'll have my students, you know, they'll practice a lot on paper, pen and paper and stuff. But then I'm thinking, I feel a little guilty when I do that because I think that sometimes that they should be, I'm teaching a language, you know, and I want them to have creative situations and where they're interacting more. And I just don't have enough time right now to make that happen every single day. So sometimes I just have to have them do some worksheet. I mean, as time goes on, I'm going to build up a repertoire of, you know, like you're having demonstrations in your class, but mine is activities that really build their language skills. And my goal is for each unit that I teach.
I do stuff too.
But my goal is for each unit I teach, I want to add something new every single time I teach it. That's what, because I can't, I'd like to add, you know, stuff new for every day, but I just.
It's kind of like my regular physics, my dream of basically a demo a day for every new topic I have, or slightly different part of the topic, I have a demo.
Right.
So multiple demos a week, like three, try to get up to speed for that. And I have, in some subjects, I have almost a demo already for every major concept. But some of them, the demo is not the most impressive or it's kind of lame.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on that.
But right now, I feel kind of guilty. I feel like I could be this excellent teacher. I think I'm a good teacher. But I feel like I could be so excellent if I just had more time. You know, I don't have enough time to prepare all this stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the number one. I think if I had, and over the years, that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, your second, third year teachers are significantly feel more at ease and are better at it, is because they've already done it once. So if they stay in the same school and the same book and stuff, it's like having more time, you know.
Yeah, give me some time. I'm going to get very, very good at this. I wish I were there, you know. I mean, I'm doing the best I can right now, but.
I feel like I already am there in my one class, the regular physics, because I've done it once already now.
Right.
And it feels like I do have plenty of time, and the kids seem to do really, really well so far this semester.
Yeah.
And I think the AP, I'm close. I don't think there'll be a whole lot I change next time around. Like the regular physics, I've definitely done some things differently. But the AP, I think I've already got, because other teachers basically developed the formula for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is how you should do it. This is what breeds success. My predecessor at the school I'm at now and at the rival high school and other teachers around the area. So we'll see if it works. We'll see how my kids do at the end. Anything else about teaching techniques? Well, there was something else I wanted to talk about, and I can't remember what it was.
In education?
No.
Or to do with teaching?
To do with my teaching methods and the doing a lot of problems. Oh, I spend a large amount of time going over homework problems.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm changing that up a little bit where, like, we'll break into groups, and I'll take a look at the key, and then they'll fix them up and see if they can figure it out, and I'll kind of help. Each group will have a certain number of problems, and then we'll, you know, swap, that type of thing. We have small classes. But there for a while, sometimes I'd spend 40 minutes going over homework.
Wow.
Like, because there'd be two or three really difficult problems that were multi-step problems that, you know, half the class didn't get that we had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided not to do that as much with the last couple assignments, to change it up a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, usually at least 20 minutes. Okay. At least 20 minutes going over homework every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost guaranteed. Unless it was just a real quick assignment.
Right.
I give them a lot of reading too. And we go fast. And I don't do a whole lot of lecture because they've seen a lot of the concepts before. We're just going more in depth. And I kind of highlight a few things here or there that I want to make sure that they didn't skip over in their reading. But I don't do a lot of lecture so far. Unlike my regular physics.
Right.
You don't care.
No, I care.
No comment?
Don't say that. No, I don't know.
What do you think about lecture?
I think lecture's just fine. Again, depends on your subject matter and then your age group, because your
students can take it. My students can take it.
Your students can take it now because you have AP, and then
if I lecture,
they're going to college soon, and
they'll stay interested for a good hour.
Mm-hmm.
I could lecture for an hour, and they would follow along with me for that whole hour.
Right.
The problem is, I don't know that that's the best use of the time, so I try not to do that, because most of them are smart enough they can figure out a lot of stuff on their own just by taking a look at the book and trying a problem, and that's more memorable than them hearing me tell them. I hope.
Foreign languages are so different. I don't know. You know, there's no really, I'm not going to lecture for 40 minutes. There's no way that I could, because, you know, when you're teaching a foreign language, you have to teach them to create with the language. And yeah. so I'm just setting up scenarios for that. And I'm showing them certain things that they need to know, but it's not going to take me 40 minutes to do so. They mainly need practice, you know. So there are various methods for teaching a foreign language, but mostly you just really need to get them to create with it. And so, again, I don't have time to set up all these activities.
One of my favorite things to do in science or in physics is to just give them a general purpose, like determine the acceleration due to gravity in this room. Mm-hmm. Here's your equipment, go.
Right.
And then help them along if they're stuck. Okay. I do that a couple times throughout the year. One of them is the official labs. I'm really shooting for them to all be like that, mm-hmm. where there's no procedures written for them. They have to write their own procedures. But I also do that with several activities throughout the year, like where they come in and they need to be like, okay, figure out how to do this. And there'll be a couple hints and it'll, you know, and most of them will get it. Because I think that makes learning memorable. And that's probably kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They need to create. Here they're creating the procedures. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about how to solve the problem.
Right. That's true.
Not so much in the AP. I did one like that. Because none of them really remembered it. So it was good I did it. Because the first time around I did it cookbook. Like I did it for speed purposes. I said, okay, calculate this, calculate this, calculate this, yada, yada, yada. And went through it because it was just a real short activity. Had to do with coefficient of friction, I believe. Calculating the coefficient of friction between wood blocks and a table. And did it with the AP kids and made it where it was discovery type. Like where I just said, okay, you need to show that this equation works or show that this relationship is the case. Here's your stuff. Go ahead. And it went much better, I think, actually,
okay.
that way
mm-hmm.
than it went the other way. Mm-hmm. Made them really think. Can you hear that? Did we turn whether you could hear that last time?
You can't hear it. It was the dryer going on.
It was the dryer going yes. really loud.
Right. We are so mellow tonight. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I have on a lot of caffeine. I don't know. What is it? We are both mellow.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
The mellow tech teachers. We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
It's 30, gone for a while.
37 minutes.
Apologize if it went a little
no
too long
No one made
there.
It this far.
Yeah.
Except my mom.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's probably because she couldn't figure out, no, we'll be nice. My mom, I haven't gotten any emails or phone calls about the computer not working yet. Or she's still working fine with Mac OS 10.
That's good.
I got her some books for it. So check out the show notes at thetechteachers.blogspot.com. You'll find links to everything we talked about in the show and our email address for feedback and any questions or show ideas you might have is rayandholly@gmail.com. Feel free to add me to your friends list at myspace.com/psharkr. And check out Todalist, Flickr, maybe EVDO, Frapper. What's our Frapper thing?
Frapper.com/tech teachers.
Oh.
Tech teachers.
It's not the tech teachers?
No, it's not the.
It's just /tech teachers. So check all that good stuff out.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's it for this week.
I think so.
Look for a... Don't unsubscribe to the video if you subscribe to an iTunes. Hopefully, we'll be throwing out a Xbox 360 LCD monitor special next weekend.
Okay.
I'm Ray.
I'm Holly. Thank you for listening.
Until next time.